G'day, welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast. I'm Graham Curry, your host from Perth, Australia. I lost 60 kilos or 132 pounds living an intermittent fasting lifestyle, and I successfully maintained that weight loss now coming up 2 years. I wanted to bring this series of podcasts to you to give you an insight into what it's like to living an intermittent fasting lifestyle. I'm also the author of the book, The Fasting Highway, which is a story of my journey overcoming chronic addiction to fast food and sugar and taking that walk from morbid obesity to normality. So sit back here with us on the Fasting Highway in the next few weeks and listen to some inspiring guests and some experts in the intermittent fasting community. And thank you for joining us. Enjoy the show. Oh, g'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway, and this is episode 49. So just before I start today's podcast with our exciting guest, I just wanted to thank everybody that's been buying my book, The Fasting Highway, out there. Thank you so much for all the great reviews and also the feedback and comments. So that's my book about my own journey, The Fasting Highway, which is available on Amazon in both Kindle and paperback. So let's get to today's guest, and I'm thrilled to be joined today by Dana Marie. And Dana is from a city just outside of Pittsburgh in the United States of America. And Dana is a relative newcomer to intermittent fasting. She's been doing it now for some 5 months. And the results have been quite staggering, not only in the weight loss, but also in the health benefits and in non-scale victories, which Dana will explain. So here to do that is the amazing Dana Marie. Oh, g'day, Dana, and welcome to the Fasting Highway, and thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, thank you, Graham, for inviting me.
Oh, it's great. You're a shining light in our group, and we really appreciate all the support you give the members in the Fasting Highway Facebook group, so thanks so much for that. But, Dana, for those that don't know you, we might start off with a bit of your backstory and any sort of problems you had with weight in your life or health issues, and also what led you up to finding intermittent fasting and how you found out about it.
Well, I've always had a battle with my weight. I think it started primarily when, I want to say after my kids were born and they started playing travel softball and stuff, I started to just get into the convenience foods. I got into, you know, buying stuff that would fit into a cooler and be able to, you know, make food easy. We were a travel ball family. We had three kids. We divided and conquered. All three were in travel ball. So convenience became a big factor. And unbeknownst to me, I didn't realize that with that convenience, I pounded on weight. You know, it just crept off on me. I didn't really realize it. Eating out at fast food, going to restaurants, having a cooler out of ball field, it all just, you know, added on. I ended up, you know, talking to my kids as I was preparing for this, I went up to my kids and I said, they're all grown now. One's married and the other two, you know, are in serious relationships. And I asked them, I said, you know, when do you guys think I started to put on weight? And I had my answer in my head. And each one of them, and they weren't in the same room, each one of them said, when my daughter was 11 at the time, got diagnosed with lung cancer, our firstborn. And they said, when that happened, that's when they noticed. My son, who's now 27, he said, Mom, I don't say this in a bad way. I don't want to hurt your feelings. But he said, I always remembered you being heavy. And yet I thought I hadn't started to put on weight until we moved from, I'm a native Californian, moved to Colorado, and then moved to Pittsburgh. And I thought my weight came on in Pittsburgh. But they said, no, it came on a long time ago, but I didn't see myself that way. I kind of accepted myself. I saw what I wanted to see in the mirror instead of what everybody else did, you know.
And so when you came to intermittent fasting, how did you discover intermittent fasting in the first place?
Well, the first place was I started to decide that I wanted to start getting myself in shape. So I started I signed up for personal training at the gym I go to. Actually, we own the gym. So I signed up for the first time and I went to my personal trainer and I said, I'm going to give you my goods, my bads, my uglies, my pre-existings. Yeah, I'm just going to lay it out there. I just want to get in shape. I want to change. And unbeknownst to me, my trainer, Nick, had been living the intermittent fasting lifestyle for over 9 years, and way before it became a thing. So he never pushed it on me. He never suggested it to me. I came about finding that out because I was working out with him and I was doing well. But then I was just kind of hitting those stalls, the stagnant. I was working out hard, but I was still eating normal, you know, my 3 meals a day, my grazing when I wanted to, tried to make good decisions where I could, but it wasn't really budging. And so, he suggested I try it, and, I thought it was going to be easy. It didn't last. I couldn't go 2 days. My mindset was like, I need to eat and I can't do this. So, I just kind of gave up on that and continued working out and sticking to that, trying to make even better choices. And then I ended up starting to drop some weight, which was great. I think I probably lost about 30 pounds at that point, you know, over year and a half, maybe close to 2 year interim. But then COVID-19 hit and it started to creep back on. I spoke to my sister-in-law and she had lost quite a bit of weight. So I asked her, I said, what are you doing? And then surprisingly, she said to me, I've been intermittent fasting. So that's now a second person. So she said, she didn't really talk about it either. I think there's a little bit of a taboo about it. I don't know. But she said, it's what works for her to keep her at a healthy place. So then I thought, okay, here's two people that are doing it and are successful. I need to find out more about it. And that's when I bought the books and started reading The Complete Guide to Fasting, Delay, Don't Deny, Fast, Feast, Repeat, your book, which was awesome because I love reading about testimonials. So that really was something I thought, yes, this guy's been there, done that. He succeeded and he's maintaining. So I loved all of the books. And so that gave me more of a strong mindset to say, you can do it, dive in and, give it a shot.
Yeah, that's great. So if you don't mind sharing, what was your weight looking like when you first started intermittent fasting? Like, just give us your stats, your sort of weight, your height, that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, when I decided, I never stepped on the scale when I was at my heaviest, so I really don't know what my heaviest was prior to intermittent fasting, but I finally got on the scale on September 22nd of 2020, and I weighed in at 216 pounds. And I was like, okay, I'm 5'8", I'm 59, and I just thought, okay, this is ridiculous. I'm on the BMI chart as being obese. I go back to when I got to COVID-19 hitting, and what really got me with that is I was in the pre-existing condition for a 70% chance of having bigger complications, possible hospitalization, or even death, as they always disclaim it, people that are overweight or are obese have a higher risk of severe complications. And I thought, gosh, I got to get myself out of this category. This is not okay. So at that point, I just really buckled down and I said, I am going to do this. So I did. I just said, I'm going to do this and I'm going to go through what I know was expected because I had read some books. And so I knew that I wasn't going to starve and that I was going to survive. And I just had to kind of let my body do what it knows how to do best. And that's to help make me healthy if I would give it a chance.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So in the early stages, did you have any struggles like when you first started off? What was your fasting protocol hours-wise?
Yeah, when I first started, I believe I started off at 16:8. And that was basically... My trainer also advised me to try to work out in a fasted state. And that was totally against everything I had ever thought one does. But I said, okay, I'll try it. So I thought, okay, I'm just going to skip breakfast. So I started with 16:8. I'd go work out and I'd come home and then, my window would open and I would have my lunch. I then found that pretty easy. So then I switched over to 18.6. And again, I found that pretty easy. So I pretty quickly went to 24. And I found that I really liked that. And what worked for me was having my window open around the 1 to 2 o'clock afternoon time, because I got up in the morning, I did my workout, I came home, you know, did whatever I needed to do, prepped my lunch, and then I would eat during that window. And I also told myself to eat slowly, let it take about an hour. So I would sit there and just, and I make like a grazing plate. I'll have a little bit of, you know, I might have salmon and turkey and some cheese and some nuts and some berries and maybe an orange and some vegetables with hummus and, you know, just a nice, well-rounded, pretty plate that I looked forward to wanting to eat. And then I let it take about an hour. And then since I was still on the 24, I thought, well, I've still got my hours. I've got time. So I would just continue. I'd eat that and then I would wait, you know, look at my clock. Well, when can I have my next meal or next snack or whatever it is I was craving? And I would have something light before I would then close my window again. But I really liked that afternoon window because I tried to tell myself that around 5 at the earliest, I would shut my window. And at the very latest, I would like to close it by 6. So if I wasn't hungry by 5, then I would just go until 1 or 2 o'clock the next day. Because I thought, I'm not hungry, so I'm not going to eat. So that then transitioned me to where I'm at now. So I would say probably 2 months ago, I pretty much converted over to OMAD. So now I eat one time and I'm satisfied. I'm not grazing, you know, like with snacks or anything. When my window opens, I eat a particular amount. And then if I'm still hungry, even though it's OMAD, because you can treat it like you say, Graham, with, you know, an appetizer if you want, a meal, and then a little treat at the end, because that's one meal. So if I felt like I wanted those other things, I would go ahead and have them. But I really find that I get pretty full with that grazing plate. And then I just go to the next day and start my routine again. And it's like clockwork. I mean, the one thing I really noticed with it was that, this might be a little bit too detailed for saying this, but you know, my morning ritual is normal. You know, I basically, you know, I don't always have to go to the restroom, you know, I mean, I go once a day and I'm happy about that. You know, it's just like my body's processing what it needs and I'm able to kind of just get into this regular routine that is just pretty streamlined.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, it's what you just mentioned there about the restaurant style OMAD, and that's important for people listening to this podcast. When we talk about one meal a day, often it's that restaurant style where we'll open up with a snack or an entree, and then we might have a main, or we would have a main. And then if we'd have a dessert if we felt like it, and maybe close off with something like a coffee and cream, or sometimes I just have a little cheese board and some crackers or something, and that's it. But even though your window sometimes might be 2 hours, 4 hours, 6 hours, whatever it may be, it's important to listen to what Dana just said then, that if you're not full, just don't keep eating because your window's open, because you need to eat to satiety and stop. And then that's the whole idea of fasting. So you need to be satisfied, full, and have that feeling of, yes, I'm done for the day and that's it. So it's not so much about just looking, thinking I've got to keep eating every minute of this 4 or 5 hours or whatever it may be. But Dana, with clean fasting, obviously you read some very good books here, Delay, Don't Deny by the New York Times bestseller, Jim Stevens. Were you clean fasting right from the very start?
I thought I was. I read, but I got a little bit of mixed messages about, like my thing was bone broth. I thought it was okay. So I think for the first 2 weeks, I slipped in some bone broth because I make my own homemade, you know, chicken bone broth. But I found out by reading and going on to forums, because I joined your forum and another Delay, Don't Deny forum, and I found, ooh, that's not okay. So then what I do now, and it's pretty routine, I don't supplement really with much else. I drink water. I drink spring water And then I also drank decaf green tea. I gave up coffee probably over 3 years ago, so I don't drink coffee at all. And that's pretty much all I drink all the time. It's rare that I drink something else other than a cocktail once in a while.
Yeah.
So I'm not used to it. It's all my body really wants.
And just to clarify the clean fast, Dana, can you just let the listeners know, because there's a lot of newcomers that are starting to listen to this podcast all the time, exactly what you can have in your clean fast and why it's important?
Well, the clean fast is, you know, you want water, obviously, because your body obviously needs water. And you need to have things that don't have any stimulants in them. You don't want to have anything that's going to trigger your body to have to produce insulin so that you end up having breaking your fast, basically. So I think a lot of times people don't realize that they need to just don't give into that temptation of adding a sweetener or adding a lemon or, you know, going into that, what do they call it, that that coffee, that a bulletproof coffee, things like that. It just needs to be water, black coffee, and black tea or green tea. Just plain. Just enjoy it the way it is. It doesn't need anything added to it. That's not stimulating your body to do anything.
Yeah, that's correct. And just got to make sure that you give that clean fast. What we talk about is the magic of the clean fast, which just gives us time to regenerate and get those cells regenerated. And if you're doing things like putting cream in your coffee or milk in your coffee or having flavored drinks or drinking sodas because you think they're diet sodas and they're not doing anything, then don't do it. What Dana mentioned there, black coffee, black tea, water, plain sparkling tea, plain flavored green tea. That's it. And if you're doing anything else, you're cutting corners. And if you want to cut corners, go buy a go-kart because it's that simple. So Dana, sorry, go on.
No, I was just going to throw in there that if you're going to go on whatever fasting window, whether it's 16, 18, 19, 20, you know, hour fast, why throw in something during that that's going to break it, that is so simple, like a sweetener? I mean, I'm not going to put the time and energy and everything into a into my fast only to think it's okay to throw something in there that shouldn't be. You're just defeating it.
Yeah, 100% agree. And some, I mean, for me, that's the whole purpose of fasting.
Right,
that's
exactly
what a fast is. And if you know, you're just defeating a purpose. And our policy here at the Fasting Highway is you're either fasting or you're not. So it's that simple. Right. So Dana, we've got to move on to what we talk about, the non-scale victories or the NSVs that we talk about in the intermittent fasting community. And also the health benefits that come from intermittent fasting. Can you just run us through some of those that have happened for you?
Oh, sure. Yeah, no, I actually, my intent when I first started, because I thought, well, I don't know if I'll lose weight on this or not. I from what I've read, there's a lot of health benefits to it, which are certainly worth, you know, trying to attain. I had been on three medications, cholesterol, thyroid, and acid reflux. I also took Zyrtec every morning because I just had allergy type symptoms. And so I was on those, you know, every day. And so I thought, you know what, I am going to start intermittent fasting and I'm going to, on my own accord, I went ahead and stopped those medications. I just went cold turkey. I said, I'm just going to see what happens. I'll go to the doctor in 2 months and see what my blood work says, all that kind of good stuff. So I went to my doctor, told her everything I was doing, and she said, okay. And I knew I could go off my cholesterol medicine because I remember a couple years back, like, maybe 2 years ago, my heart was causing some kind of irregular beating and stuff. So I went to cardiologist, and you know, that's when I got off coffee because he told me, he said, do you drink Coke? Do you eat a lot of this or that? And I said, no. He said, do you drink coffee? And I said, yes. And he said, well, your body, it's too much for your body. So I said, okay. So I cut it out cold turkey. And but he wanted to get my baseline on my cholesterol because I've always been very high. And when I say very high, I'm in the 400s. And I've been that way since I was probably 18 years old. So I went off the medicine. And in November, I went in and my cholesterol was up to 404 without the medicine. It had been down as low as, I think, 238 with medicine. And so I ended up knowing I had to go back on the medicine. So I said, I have no problem with that, because if I need it, I need it. But then my thyroid, she said, you can go off the thyroid medicine. My thyroid was fine. And then my acid reflux, I had no symptoms anymore from acid reflux because I wasn't eating as often. I wasn't having that stomach acidity, you know, come up. So I got off my acid reflux. I didn't go back on the Zyrtec. So the only thing I take right now is my cholesterol medicine. Yesterday, I went to my doctor after being back on it since November, so 4 months later, and my cholesterol is now down to 214, which is the lowest I think it has ever been in my life, even on medication. So I asked her, I said, now my hope is that as I continue with my IF, will you be able to lower my dosage? Because I'm on 80 milligrams a day, which is pretty high. And she said, absolutely. She goes, as your numbers go down, we'll reduce your dosage. And she said, and maybe we can even get you off it. So I'm really excited about potentially getting off that medication. So that was like the biggie to me, because I wanted to not be going into my senior, you know, my higher years on a bunch of meds. I just didn't want it. So right now I'm on one, and I'm okay with that as we work towards eliminating it. So I was able to, I used to like take Tylenol, ZQL, Advil PM to sleep. I don't take that anymore. I went from a size 16-18 pant down to about an 8-10 right now. I was in a size large shirt. I'm now in or extra large or 1X shirt. I'm now into a large. I used to have headaches almost every day, and I was always very, very tired taking naps. I don't take naps anymore. I have a lot more energy. I am just not tired during the day at all. I sleep better at night. My watch used to say, because I have one of these smart watches, and it used to say I slept very poorly or compromised. Now it's mostly, you know, good to great, you know, so my sleeping is great. My mind is much more clear. I had to put in ring savers on my ring, they got too big. So I had to put those in so they won't fall off. It's just, you know, I think the other thing is just my body composition has changed. The way I lost weight before is I still had a lot of, I don't know what you want to call it. Just even though you lost weight, you're still kind of flabby. I'm not like that now. It's like my legs have gotten leaner. My stomach has gotten leaner. Everything just, I started to form a regular body shape again, as opposed to the muffin tops and all those kind of things. Those kind of things have just kind of, I guess, melted away with this type of eating. The body is doing its job.
Yeah. And so over a period of what, 5-6 months now?
5 months, yeah.
Yeah. So what's the weight loss been like over that period?
As of yesterday, 34 pounds.
Wow, that's fantastic, isn't it? It's a ratio of about seven pounds a month. That's amazing, yeah. Especially considering you're 5'8" tall. That's really great. And those HSVs and health benefits, how great are they? And I always say to people, don't focus on the weight loss. And people always say to me, you've lost a huge amount of weight, Graham. And I say, yeah, I have. But for me, the health benefits, and all those things you mentioned, well, except for the rings, a lot of those things have come for me, like the mental clarity, the energy, not feeling, you know, lethargic, not feeling like you've got to go and lay down. And I was just talking to a doctor on this podcast a couple of episodes back, actually, and we were talking about that. He said he used to carry a pillow around with him because he used to have an afternoon nap before he started, you know, looking at his weight and fasting and everything else. And I was be driving on a 7-hour road trip. I do a lot of country driving here. I work in agriculture research, so I'm visiting farms. And often on the way back, I'd have to pull over on the side of the road and just have a sleep because I just couldn't focus and concentrate. And and IF has done so many things for us, more so than weight loss. And I think that's important to remember. So, Dana, the other thing you mentioned there was that you had a personal trainer who was an IFer himself. And so exercise has obviously been something sort of in forefront for you. Yeah. And what's your exercise regime like now?
Well, the way and a little backstory to that is I've always been one that has started and stopped with my exercise and my diets. And You know, so this time when I decided to do it, you know, one thing that my one daughter said to me, she said, you know, if you're going to start this, Mom, you have to stick with it. You know, you have to, if you're going to hire this trainer, then you have to stick with it for yourself, because you always have a tendency to quit on yourself. And she said, I say this lovingly, but you do. And so she said, you know, just stick with it and you'll be, you know, better off for it. So what I do now is I strength train twice a week with my personal trainer. And we've gone from doing like functional training, which is like body weight exercises, burpees, floor presses, TRX, battle ropes, things like that. Then I progressed on to selectorized equipment, which is the pin loaded type equipment where you set a weight and then you do it in the proper form. And now I've transitioned into more of some of the free weight pieces of equipment, which I had never really done before. And then I always piggyback on the back of that. That's for about a half an hour. And then I do a half an hour of cardio. So I get about an hour of that. And then on the days I don't strength train with him, I go in and I try to do a cardio, an hour of cardio, probably an additional 3, if not 4 days a week. So that I'm doing it, you know, 5 days, 6 days a week, and just keeping it going, because it's just important. I mean, as we get older, everything starts to get harder. And if we don't, our bodies are, you know, meant to be in motion. So if we stop moving, we stop functioning, really. We start, you know, walking funny, we get slow, we get tired. So for me, I'm just sitting there saying, I want to continue aging, but have my mobility and at the forefront as well. So it's really, really helped me. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. And you've got to keep the wheels moving, that's for sure. And
yeah.
When you stop, everything stops. And I think that's important. So yeah. Dana, if you don't mind sharing, and you don't have to tell me, what age are you?
I'm 59.
59, wow. So being 59, and I'm 58 myself, Dana, or just next week I'm 58.
Happy early birthday.
What do you tell people out there? Thank you. What do you tell people out there? Because I strike a lot of people in their 50s or even in their late 40s, and they say to me, oh, you know what? I just accepted who I am and my health is bad, but, you know, I'm too old to do anything like intermittent fasting. What do you say to people that say that?
Absolutely not. It's never too late to start. Matter of fact, I would say you have to start. It's just a part of trying to take control. I think a lot of people, and I'm part of that, almost got to a point of just accepting that, you know, I'm over 55. I'm going to be hitting 60. It's too late for me. I don't need to. Nothing's ever worked. And so we kind of give up and just fall into that 60-ish mentality, maybe, of it's too late for me to start doing anything really to change the way my body's been. And it's just simply not true. I think that once we understand that our bodies do not need to be in a constant fed state, that actually the opposite is true, that if we give our bodies the opportunity to do what it does best, and that is give it time to work. Let it get done digesting the food. Let it start to rejuvenate your cells. Let it, you know, just start to detox your body. You quickly will see just how much better you're feeling. I was shocked with how I didn't have to have 3 meals a day plus snacks, you know? I look back now and I just think about how much for my body and for me, I was overeating. And when I went to, you know, this style, are you first going to get those hunger pains and struggle? Absolutely you are, because we're used to always, whenever we get a hunger pain, we want to satisfy it. So we go and we stop in and we get Starbucks, or we get, you know, fast food, or we go to the kitchen cabinet, we grab a snack food because, you know, the signal is telling us we're hungry, but we don't need it. So I think, you know, people just need to realize that they're not going to starve if they don't eat 3 meals a day. and that their body will become accustomed to small, or not smaller meals, just a satisfying meal, you know, listening to their body, to where if you're hungry, then eat. But you're going to be surprised that your body will function actually better with the right nutrition in the proper quantities than it is the way that we've been eating and putting on the weight, you know.
100%. Well said. And I think the other thing to sort of talk about here, Dana, while we're on it, is there's a mantra in the communities that says you can eat whatever you want within the intermittent fasting. And I sort of, you know, obviously we don't judge anybody in intermittent fasting. That's one of the things we do. We keep our eyes on our own plate, and that's important. We don't judge anybody's fasting styles because it's an experimental one. You've got to find something that fits you. But when it comes to that mantra, you can eat whatever you want, for you comers out there, what that actually means is you need to find out what you need to eat to make you feel your greatest, okay? So some people like myself, I come off a base of being a fast food and sugar addict, as is well documented in my book and in these podcasts and everything else. So I needed to address that. Some people have a problem with alcohol consumption, so they need to address that. So when you say you can eat whatever you want, what's the message there, Dana?
Well, for me, when I was eating whatever I want, I was I'm a grazer. I like to just go and nibble on things when I feel like it. So that was something that I needed to not do. For me, I told myself I wanted to eat what I wanted, but it had to be, you know, obviously during that window. And so, but what I wanted was a little bit of like everything. So I chose what I call my grazing plate so that I got that little satisfaction. But what I tried to do was make better choices for that plate and not the, like, I keep no snacks in the house for me because I know that's my Achilles. I know that I'll go and eat them. I don't keep chips in there for me. Because I know that if they're there, I'm going to want them. So I just eliminate that thing. Now, if I go over to my dad and my window opens and he always has, I have an 88-year-old father that lives nearby and he always has chocolates. If I want one, I'll grab one with my windows open and I'll take that bite of just that chocolate and feel satisfied. Every once in a while, I'll tell my husband, hey, I feel like, you know, going out to Red Robin and getting a burger. And so when I go there and I order that burger, that's my one meal a day. I take off the top bun because I don't eat the top bun. I put out like, you know, about 8 fries, you know, they're steak fries. And I eat that and I am satisfied, but I'm not going back and eating other things in my window. That is it. And I've enjoyed it. Now, kind of a sad story. Yesterday, I hadn't been out to, you know, have dinner or anything for a while. So I asked my husband, I said, can I, or how about if we go out to Olive Garden and have dinner? He goes, sure, sounds fine. So we went out and I had been I looked at the menu and I thought, well, I haven't had chicken parm for, you know, a long time, chicken parmesan. So I ordered that and I only was able to eat the smallest of portion because my appetite has just changed. And I had a tiny bit of the pasta, which I haven't had in probably 5 months. And oh my God, my stomach last night, Graham, was not a happy camper. I was just so uncomfortable. It felt hard if I pushed down on my stomach. And I got up the next morning. I told my husband, I said, well, I'll never be eating that again. I think my body knows what it likes now. And when it says, don't put that in me again, it was hard to process. It didn't settle with me well. So my leftovers, which I had brought home, went in the trash. I said, I'm not eating that. So I think my taste in food, which I thought I'm going to sit down and enjoy this meal, I really didn't because it was too rich and it had, you know, the heaviness of that pasta and the breading that was on it. It was too much for me now. My body has changed and it likes just healthy, clean food.
Yeah. And I think that's a natural process. A lot of people start off by just eating whatever they crave and eating whatever they want. Okay. Right. But the longer you fast, what happens is you realize that you're only eating it once a day and you sort of want to eat what we call a window-worthy meal.
Yes, okay? I like that, by the way. Yes.
Yeah, window worthy is a mantra that every single person at Intermittent Fast should adopt.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean you have to be more pure than now, okay? You can enjoy a burger. You can go and have fries. You can go out and do whatever you want. And as we said before, we don't judge anybody. But what happens is the longer you fast, you naturally gravitate towards a higher quality food. Mm-hmm. And that's what your body seeks. And that's what the mindset part of it is that we're going to talk about in a minute. And all of a sudden, what happens is your mind and your body connect in a way where your body's saying to your mind, listen, I would really like something really lovely for dinner tonight, something that makes my body feel great. Mm-hmm. And so you get that connection going. Whereas when you're sort of an obese person like I was, you lose that connection because you don't even think about what your body or your organs want. You just think about what your mind wants.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what drives you. And I think that's the difference. But talking about mindset, Dana, we know how important that is in intermittent fasting. So just run us through a few mindset techniques that you developed.
Well, for me, if you don't have the right mindset to take this on, I knew it was going to fail. I knew that I had to believe in the process and believe in what the body was wanting to do. So because I went into it with that attitude of, you know, how good this is going to do for my body, I didn't really struggle too much with the mindset part of it because I had already made myself understand that it's going to be good for me. So I just, like I said, you know, every day when I get up, my husband, you know, I asked him for his, well, he's always given me my support, but, you know, he is, he eats all day long. He's tall, he's slender, he's active, he goes to the gym, he plays racquetball. I mean, he's always been in very good health and very fit, but he eats all day long. And so he makes his breakfast, his lunch, and then I will make a dinner. And sometimes I'll sit with him and not, and that was kind of hard. So the mindset of I have to change my routine to fit what I'm doing right now, and I need your support. And, but I said, but there will be times where I will sit and eat with you, or I will, ask to go out for dinner. And I said, so, you know, but my mindset had to be strong to realize that I didn't need to influence how much he eats. There's no way in the world. Matter of fact, he made a joke, the other night where he said, I didn't know it was a joke at the time, but he came up to me and he said, I think I can, I've been thinking about fasting. And I looked at him with questionable eyes and I said, what do you mean? And he said, yeah, I think I could go 18. And I looked at him and I said, what? And he said, but I'm going to warn you, once it hits 20 minutes, I'll have to eat. So he was making a joke that he could go 18 minutes and not, you know, 18 hours and he'd have to eat at 20. And I just, you know, at that point, I just rolled my eyes at him. But it's nice being in a household that even though he cannot or will not, doesn't have to do intermittent fasting, or he could probably benefit from it health-wise, but all of his numbers come back good. His weight is good. You know, all of his blood work is good. But having that support that he knows that this is very important to me to finally take control and own me and my struggles in life gave me a stronger mindset knowing that it's not a battle at home with, you know, I want you to sit and eat dinner with me. I want to have, you know, this, that, and the other. He wasn't that way at all. He was great. Which I loved.
Yeah, that's great. That's funny. And it's, you know, there's weight loss companies here in Australia now, and you've seen the adverts on TV, and they say things like they're selling their diet plans or meal plans, whatever they are. And then they mention the words intermittent eating, right? That comes along with these plans. And I smile to myself and I think, well, I used to do intermittent eating. I used to eat every 5 minutes. And getting back to that mantra of you can eat whatever you want, I mean, eating whatever I want put me in the place I was when I was 360 pounds, and that's the truth.
That's exactly
So I think what you said there is great, and it's great you've got that, your husband as a support network and your family, and I know they're super proud of you. And I guess being in lockdown a fair bit too, I don't know what the situation is where you are, but it's funny, I interviewed two guys in London that have basically been in lockdown for 9 months. They haven't seen anybody that they know or work colleagues or anything like that. And these two guys have lost 100 pounds.
Wow.
So you can imagine when they come out of lockdown what that's got to be like. So I guess it'll be the same for you, for some family that you haven't seen.
Yeah, we haven't seen. It's been a little different for us because, yeah, we're in lockdown and then it opened back up. And so we have our own business. So we did go back to work. So I am around people. I also take care of my dad, taking him to his doctor's appointments. He's recently had, you know, lung cancer, you know, this last year. So I've been taking him, you know, to all his doctor's appointments and stuff. And so my regular people, like at the gym, and my family, you know, have seen me, you know, slowly just, you know, drop. Although when I say slowly, it is averaging about 7 pounds a month, but slowly start to change. But the extended family, you know, I think at that point, it'll be nice to see them and see if they take note. I mean, you never know. People get used to seeing you. When I remember when I was at, you know, like the 230 weight, when I was in at the gym, you know, and I would show people my pictures from before, because they'll stop me now and say, you know, you look really great. And, oh my gosh, what are you doing? I say, do you remember me like this? And they say, you were never like that. And I said, yeah, we moved here, we opened the gym, and this is me here. And people just, you know, they get used to seeing you a certain way. And so, and it creeps up slowly. So even though you put on weight, they're not looking at you in that manner. I think that the few times when I would get that look would be like guests that would come into the club and would, you know, say, you know, so do you work out? You know, questionable. Or, you know, why don't you work out? So I would hear like comments here and there, and it would be hurtful, but you couldn't show it, you know, because it was like, okay, I guess, you know, you think I'm fat, you know, but you know, they care for you for the person that you are. And so they just are accepting of it. And then I think once you start to change in losing weight, I think it's also comes along to where they don't always notice right away. And then all of a sudden they take a look and they think, wow, what have you done? And it may be after you finally hit that 30 pound mark, you know, because it was just such a slow day-to-day thing that they saw you, you know?
Yeah, that's true. And people do just, you know, they see you how you are at that point in time and in your life. And especially people that don't know you, they only know the vision that they're looking at.
Right.
And it was funny, I went to a specialist, and he wrote on the letter to the referral to the surgeon, and he said, Mr. Curry is a tall, slim man. And I burst out laughing. I really started cracking up. And he said, what's so funny about that? And I said, I haven't always been a slim man. He said, what do you mean? And I showed him the photos. You know, you've seen my photos. And he nearly fell off his chair. And he said, that is amazing. He said, how did you do that? And I told him. And I only had like a short appointment with him. And he said, listen, can I give you a call and talk about this? And I said, sure. And anyway, he did. And we talked it through. And then I heard from him, and he said that he was interested in starting it because he was not heavily overweight, but he was a little bit sort of overweight, you know. And that's what I mean. And even my own doctor, and you mentioned your doctors there, and my own doctor sort of thought about taking it up as well. So I think more of the medical profession are getting on board. And one of the best stories I've heard on this podcast was from Tracy Dixon Neal, which is a fellow moderator in the Fasting Highway Facebook group. And she's from New Zealand. And she went to her doctor, and her doctor said, look, you're too overweight and you really need to lose some weight. And I'm not going to tell you the traditional way. He said, I'm going to tell you about intermittent fasting. And he wrote down on a piece of paper what to do and how to start, and told her to come back in 6 months' time. And that's what she did. So he basically wrote a prescription for IF. How good is that? Yeah, would you love that, to see that happen?
Absolutely. Well, I haven't seen that happen. I know that there were a couple of people at the club that when this one particular person had said, oh my gosh, Dana, you look great. What have you been doing? And I hesitated because I thought, you know, there's just this attitude that people aren't going to be accepting of it, or that you're starving yourself. And so I said, well, I said, I do intermittent fasting. And he said, oh, that's great. And he had done it himself throughout, you know, his life. And he said, no, I think that's great. He goes, there's so many good things for it. So I think sometimes when we're a little hesitant to say something, that you'll be surprised that people are more in the know than you think. Like I said, with my trainer, you know, I didn't know that he did it, and he did it before it was a thing. But like I told him, I said, you know, I'll ask him questions. And he said, you know what, Danny? He goes, I've been doing this so long. He said, I didn't read any books. I just did it. And he said, so I can just give you my experience as being, this is my lifestyle. And so I can run things past him in that regard. But I think that it's getting easier to talk with people, but it's not quite there yet. You know,
yeah.
I think people have this misnomer that you have to eat three squares and snacks in between. And if you make those good choices, then, you know, your weight will be okay. But for me, it certainly didn't work.
Yeah. I always smile when people say things like intermittent fasting and starving yourself. And it's, I always say to them, well, you know what? I've been to a few funerals in my life, and I've never heard somebody deliver a eulogy and have said, here lies the bones of Graham. He died because he didn't eat breakfast. And, you know, nobody's ever died because they skipped breakfast. Let's face facts. No. The other thing about fasting to remember, and this is really important, two things. One, fasting's been around since time began. Okay, nobody invented fasting. Religions have been doing fasting for, you know, hundreds and thousands of years, okay? And it's something that's done by everybody. And when I say everybody, I mean every human on earth fasts in some aspect, because when you go to bed at night and you're sleeping for 8 or 9 hours, you are technically fasting because you're not eating. You're actually having a break from that food when you're sleeping. So what do most people do? They wake up in the morning and they have breakfast. How is breakfast spelled? Break fast.
Exactly.
So that's what it happens. And so you got feast and famine. So fasting has been around forever. So when you hear people saying that, you know, they were the father of fasting or the mother of fasting or whatever like that, that's not true, because fasting has been around forever. So that's really important to remember. But what's been the best thing about your intermittent fasting journey so far, aside from the weight loss, Nina, and a few of those other things you mentioned, for you personally?
For me personally, you know what? I used to hate to get my picture taken. I didn't like the way I looked. You know, I had the pumpkin face. You know, I wanted to always stand sideways, you know, make yourself try to look a little less, you know, wide. I enjoy going out and looking for some new tops, and I love the energy I have. That's a huge thing for me, because like we talked about earlier, I was always tired. I would have to come home and take a nap in the afternoon almost daily. I think just my outlook on life, I think, is better than it's been probably in like 20 years, because I finally feel like I found that path for me that is working. And I look forward to my years coming up. And I've already, like we've talked about, a few vacations we're going to take. And, you know, and I've already said, you know, I want to stick to my protocol. I don't want to use that as like an excuse for me to do something different. I get on the scale now daily. I used to think the scale was my enemy, and it was. I wouldn't get on the scale. But now when I started fasting, I said, you know what? I want this to be more of my accountability partner than it is my enemy. So every day I get up and I weigh myself. And that's just to help me stay on the right path. It helps.
Yeah.
If I get away from it for a week, which I have not done, I haven't gotten away from it, I don't even think, for a day since I began. I just feel like it reinstates to me that I'm doing the right thing. Have I gone up and down a pound or two or three here and there? Absolutely, I have. But then it just, you know, it comes back down. And so I'm not scared of it anymore. And that's a big deal for me.
Yeah, I resonate with that a lot, actually. And when it comes to vacations, funny enough, in the first 12 months I was doing IF, I was so laser focused. nothing was going to get in my way of my 23-1. Nothing. I would just not compromise in any way, because I just wanted to get the weight off, and I was so focused in retaking my health. And then once I got the weight off and I was in maintenance, I thought my first big vacation came up, and I went to Japan for the Rugby World Cup in 2019. And I thought, wow, I'm going to be there nearly a month. How am I going to handle this, you know? And so what I did was I just went there with an open mind, and I thought I'd just roll with the day and see what happens. And there were plenty of days where I had quite long windows. And but also on vacation, I think you're quite active. Sometimes, particularly if you're in an office job or something like that, you may not be as active as what you would be if you're, you know, a physical worker, so to speak. So when I'm on vacation, I love to walk. I love to do things, and I'm always moving. And in Japan, you do a lot of walking, especially in the big cities like Tokyo. You can walk 20, 30,000 steps in a day without even thinking about it. And so when I came back from that vacation, and it was funny because I was packing for the vacation, and I actually thought about taking the scales. I had the scales next to the suitcase, right? My wife said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Oh, I'm thinking about, you know, I weigh every day and I might want to take the scales." She says, "You're not taking the scales. That's not happening." And so I thought, okay. But anyway, I did find a scale in Japan once in that 3 weeks. So I was able to weigh myself, and I surprised myself. I thought, wow, I haven't put on any weight at all. It's great. But I think it's important to realize that when you do get back from vacations and you go straight back to your fasting protocol, any sort of, you know, holiday weight that you gain, it might be a few pounds or whatever that may be, it tends to go fairly quickly. So I wouldn't stress out over vacations too much. That's important to remember. But I can really resonate with the fact that you're laser focused in what you're doing, and you have your mind on that goal, and that's the strength of your mindset there. But also, Dana, there's people sitting out there listening to this podcast that are just starting out, or they may not have started, and they're listening to people like us trying to, you know, get some conviction to do it. What sort of advice have you got for someone that's just starting, and something that you wish you'd known when you first started?
Wish I'd known when I first started. I would say to not be scared of it. Don't overthink it. I always tell people, if I talk to them about intermittent fasting, that they really have to read. I think you need to read about it, not just dive into it like a regular diet. A lot of times you will buy the food, or you'll, you know, do the shakes, or, you know, and you'll restrain yourself. And I know, like on a lot of the forums, which, by the way, I think is awesome. Everybody that wants to start IF should join a forum, either the Fasting Highway, you know, any of the Delay Don't Deny forums, because you're around like-minded people with the same struggles, the highs, the lows, the support, and not to compare yourself to anybody else's journey. I think that sometimes we see these success stories and we're not seeing them in our own life, so then we feel like we're failing. And I think we need to not do that. I think we need to own ourselves, own our struggles, own the responsibility for the weight that we put on in our life, and know that it's not going to come off overnight. And having it come off slowly over a period of time is so much healthier. And in the interim, you're not only just slowly losing some weight, but you're also just getting so healthy on the inside out. So I think that people should educate themselves a little bit by reading, grab a book, and, you know, take pictures. I didn't do that. That's one thing I didn't do. I didn't take pictures in the very beginning, and I didn't measure myself. I didn't get a smart scale until September, 2 months later after starting. And so I started at that point, you know, keeping good record of it. But I think that it is telling for people to take some pictures, take some measurements, and take note of the really small things, and not necessarily the number on the scale as being the big thing for them. You know, I think it can trip you up, because you're going to set expectations of a certain amount of weight loss. And if you don't hit that, you can get discouraged and not do it. And this isn't a quick fix. It's not a magic pill. It's a lifestyle change. And you have to get that in your head, that this isn't just going to be for 2 or 3 or 4 months. That's one thing that I feel like with my kids, they've seen me on so many diets, so many attempts, that even though I'm doing great right now and they're all very, very proud of me, in my mind, I've got it set that this is my way of life. This is how I'm going to move forward into my years. I love it. There isn't anything I don't like about it. But I think for them, I think they might be still a little cautious as to whether I'll follow through, because so many times I've started and stopped. So it's exciting for me to know in my mind. It's kind of like when I decided to let my hair grow out 3 years ago, everybody said, you can't do it. You won't do it. And I said, watch me. And I did, you know, and it's just like right now, it's like, I'm going to stick with this. It's the best thing I've found that has given me back again. You know, I'm finally finding myself again, and I like who I see.
Oh, so good, Dana. Brilliant. You know, I just wanted to circle back to the age thing. I mean, I've interviewed people on this podcast that are in their 20s, right up to sort of 70s. And the thing is, age isn't a factor in this. I mean, obviously, if you're only a young teen or something like that, you've got to grow and that sort of thing and get that full growth before you sort of maybe think about it. But the earlier you take your life back, if you're an obese person, the better your life's going to be, is the message there. And also, when you are getting older, and you don't need to be carrying around all that weight and slowing you down. And you know, life is so much better without it. So don't think that age is a factor and it's going to hold you back. And you know what? We've got a lady in our group, and big shout out to Louise. She's 84 years old, right? In the last 12 months, she's closing in on her 50-pound weight loss, 25 kilos.
Awesome.
She is an amazing woman. And Louise is actually going to be coming up on the podcast and tell her story. And 84 years old, she is such an icon for people of her age. It's not funny when it relates to how she thinks and her mindset around her health. So, but Dana, I can't tell you what a pleasure it's been today to talk to you. I find you someone that's very inspiring and motivating. You do some great things in our Facebook group, The Fasting Highway, and anyone out there that wants support like Dana's talking about, you'll find it in our group, the Fasting Highway Facebook group. There's a lot of people from all around the world. We're a global community, and they're always happy to help. And we've got some of the world's most experienced fasters in there, and they're absolute a wealth of information. So anyway, Dana, thank you for joining me here on the Fasting Highway today. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much, Graham. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Oh, thank you so much, Dana. I thoroughly enjoyed that chat with you, and I'm very much looking forward to catching up with you in another 4 or 5 months' time as we continue to follow up our beginners series. Next week on the podcast, a big thrill for me personally, got my good friend from Canada and Keith McDonald. And Keith is one of the most inspiring members of the Fasting Highway Facebook group, and he really is a true inspiration in every way. And I think Keith's journey really epitomizes the intermittent fasting lifestyle and also how mindset plays such a great part in our journeys. So don't miss that one, Keith McDonald, coming up. Until then, be well, be safe, and remember, clean fasting is everlasting.